while this comes up, I'll just say that there are no financial disclosures. Today I'll be presenting a behavioral medicine trial. It's a randomized control trial testing three different lifestyle walking strategies paired with a conventional medical nutrition counseling program within the VA system for patients at high risk for cardiovascular disease. And I should point out that the primary investigator for this study, Dr. Caroline Richardson, unfortunately had to back out at the last minute due to a conflict that was unavoidable, and it's my honor to share these results with you today. And I'll just point out that this study was funded by the Rehabilitation Research and Development Service, a part of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and also in part by a training grant for clinical scholars from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, as well as a K grant from the National Institutes of Health. So with that disclosure and in your mind, just imagine that these results only reflect the opinions of the authors and not the government. Let's proceed. Just to give you a little background for the rationalization of this trial, 22% of adults age 50 to 60 have two or more cardiovascular risk factors. And within this population, this high-risk patient population actually accounts for 64% of deaths attributable to a sedentary lifestyle. And weight loss through moderate physical activity can reduce many of these cardiovascular risk factors, such as hypertension or high cholesterol, poor peripheral and central blood flow. And walking is often recommended by American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, as a safe form of unsupervised physical activity for this group. However, starting and maintaining a walking program can be challenging for sedentary individuals. And from a theoretical standpoint, self-regulation theory as well as social cognitive theory posit that a primary reason many individuals have, many motivated individuals have with changing a health behavior is an inability to accurately self-monitor their behavior change. And even though walking is a ubiquitous and easy and common activity, many people are poor at self-monitoring. That brings us to the idea of pedometers. Pedometers such as the one in the upper corner of the screen, the DigiWalker, Yamex DigiWalker simple pedometer, have been proven very effective in helping people objectively track their activity in terms of simple step counts of how many steps you take per day, which helps people also set goals. If they're very sedentary, they can change their behavior through small steps, and they can overcome problems and identify barriers on days that they're less active versus more active, which theoretically should improve adherence as they have more success. However, there's a new generation of pedometers that are actually internet-based. And internet-based walking programs allow participants to use enhanced pedometer data, such as the Sport Brain, which we used in our study. And an enhanced pedometer is one that allows the user to view detailed feedback of activity over the course of a day or time period with respect to intensity. And the Sport Brain shows both moderate and vigorous levels of activity over the course of a day or week. And one of the questions that came that we were mulling over is, it's really unclear what is the best way to prescribe walking. Most national exercise guidelines recommend time goals, as represented by our wristwatch there, of 30 minutes per day. And, of course, there are simple little pedometer step counts or internet-enhanced pedometers. Which is better? That was the goal of this study. So the objective was to compare the effects of three different home-based walking programs on weight loss when paired with standard medical nutritional therapy, MNT, in patients with or at risk for cardiovascular disease. And our primary outcome was weight loss at 6 months. And it was our hypothesis that enhanced pedometers would improve self-monitoring and reduce the burden of having to log information and thereby improve weight loss and adherence over time, thereby improving outcomes. Oop, going the wrong way. So our participants were male veterans from 5 VA medical centers from around the country, recruited by physician or through self-referral. And the inclusion criteria were they had to be ambulatory, sedentary prior to enrollment, BMI greater than or equal to 28, and BMI being body mass index, report one or more cardiovascular risk factors, or have known cardiovascular disease. And lastly, they had to have medical clearance from a VA physician, and this physician had to be willing to follow the participant over the course of the study in the possible contingency that they might have an adverse medical event that is either study-related or non-study-related. And we actually documented how that occurred in a paper that I point to at the bottom, which is quite interesting. And to jump ahead to the intervention, this was a six-month multi-site randomized controlled trial comparing three arms based primarily on physical activity. The control arm was asked to manually track their daily walking levels in a log, and they also set goals with a study dietitian based on time recommendations, gradually increasing those over time. And the simple pedometer arm also was required to manually log their daily step count levels that were recorded on their simple pedometer. And when they met with the interventionist for the study, they set daily step count goals. Finally, the enhanced pedometer arm, also they used the enhanced pedometers, which actually reduced recording bias or burden and allowed participants to upload periodically to track and view their feedback on the internet, either on their own or with an interventionist. And across all subjects or participants, they received 5 sessions of medical nutritional counseling with a dietitian, where they worked on dietary goals, which is standard of care in the VA for patients at high risk for cardiovascular disease, and they also set their goals for physical activity. The dietary counseling was based on medical nutritional weight management as created by the ADA, and it was delivered with a motivational interviewing spirit. Dietary stages of change was a focus for dietary goals. Nutritional handouts were provided, and patients were, or participants were encouraged to record their nutritional habits in a diet diary. Just to give you an idea of the flow of the study, at week one, or session one, patients were enrolled and assessed both through questionnaire and anthropometric measures, height, weight, blood pressure. Week two, they came back and were randomized to one of the three arms. They also met with a dietitian where they started their dietary change and their physical activity goals based on randomization. Then over the course of 3 weeks, they came back for more feedback, goal setting, and then at week six, 1.5 months out, they came back for reinforcement, again, problem solving, going back. At week 12, again, more reinforcement assessment, problem solving, new goals. And at week 24, or at 6 months, they had a final session for assessment. Weight was assessed at each visit. Our sample size was powered at 80% to detect a 3-pound difference between pairs of conditions based on, see if we can go back, based on pilot data. So for instance, time versus simple pedometer arms, or time versus the enhanced pedometer arms. So planned comparisons were made with an alpha of 0.05 for a two-tailed test. Multivariate linear regression was used to compare changes in scores from baseline at 3 months and 6 months, adjusting for clustering by site. And just to give you an idea of our study flow, we recruited 416 patients. 161 were excluded for various reasons. 255 were randomized, and ultimately 183 finished. There was no differences in dropout by arm, but the overall dropout rate was a little high at 28%. To describe our participants, there were before final assessment, there were 255. The mean age was 56.3 years. Two-thirds of them were Caucasian or white. African Americans were represented by more than a quarter of the sample. Education was quite high, with over 80% having some or more college education. Interestingly, the mean number of comorbidities, according to an adapted Charleston Comorbidity Index, was 5.2. And just to give you an idea of the morbidity, hypertension was endorsed 70% of the time, high cholesterol 65%, almost 66%. Depression, anxiety, or a mood disorder was close to 59%. And the mean body mass index was 36.2, indicative of obesity. Our results, to put this in a tabular form, if you look at the red bars represent 6 months, the blue bars 3 month outcomes, you can see that there were significant differences between the three arms, with the weight loss at 6 months for the enhanced pedometer arm being 4.6 pounds, whereas it was 1.3 for the simple pedometer and 1.9 for the time-based group. So weight loss was significantly greater in the enhanced pedometer arm. We meant to put error bars on this, but due to the clustering, Stata 10.0 was a little uncooperative as we went to download these slides. So I'll give you a descriptive table that sort of gives you an idea of the distribution. By gainers and losers, we mean people that gained weight over the course of the trial, versus losers were actually the winners by arm. So what's really interesting is you look across, there's a normal distribution within each arm for weight loss and weight gain. And you'll see that actually for those that lost weight, it was actually greater than, you know, within each arm than what we showed in the previous chart. There were some outliers that lost a lot of weight or gained a lot of weight. That was due to medical conditions. We did an outlier analysis, it was not necessary to exclude those outliers because they did not significantly affect our p-values. So we left them in to reflect how sick this population was. And just a number of process indicators, average number of visits was almost, it was just over 5 across arms. There were no differences. Days of logging, step counts, or activity was about 50, just over 50% for both the time and simple arms. And for the enhanced pedometer, that was fairly objective. We know that they uploaded, and they didn't have to upload every day to be compliant. Participant satisfaction was high across all the arms, but I'd note that in the participants in the enhanced pedometer arm who uploaded more frequently tended to lose more weight, although this was non-significant. And objective 7-day accelerometer assessments showed that the enhanced pedometer group was more active, although non-significant, at 3 months than the other two arms. In conclusion, I would posit that medical nutritional counseling for weight loss can be enhanced by walking programs. Weight loss was greater for individuals using an enhanced pedometer feedback than walking programs using time-based goals or simple pedometer monitoring. This also validates Dr. Richardson's recent meta-analysis in the Annals of Family Medicine that found that, or predicted, based on a meta-analysis of the literature, that weight loss facilitated by a pedometer walking program with no nutritional intervention results in approximately a 1 pound weight loss every 10 weeks, or if you project that out over a year, 5 pounds per year. There were some strengths and limitations in our study. We'll play to our strengths first. Weight loss is possible despite high disease morbidity. Some people might poo-hoo 4.6 pounds as a rather paltry weight loss, but considering how obese and sick this population was, we considered that rather significant. Success was also found in the enhanced pedometer arm, despite veteran barriers to internet use at the time the study was launched. A lot of veterans were not internet savvy or did not have access to the internet. We found creative ways to overcome that. And also, using the medical information system along with our study medical record, electronic medical record system within the VA, combined with our dietitians and site coordinators, we were able to help a number of patients overcome adverse medical events and keep them walking over the course of the study. Our limitations were that results may actually underestimate the change in body composition, where some veterans actually gained muscle mass but did not have significant weight loss. That factor cannot be ruled out in this trial. And then the influence of treatment disease on weight. Our number of outliers reflect that there were people that gained or lost weight due to underlying medical problems or the treatments that they were undergoing for various chronic disease states. Finally, recommendations. I would advocate that we explore new strategies to help veterans use online behavioral programs to manage chronic diseases. Veterans Walk for Health has illustrated that it's feasible and possible. And testing how enhanced pedometers can interface with the VA's electronic medical record system might actually help providers offering lifestyle advice, such as those who work closely with the MOVE program for overweight and obesity treatment. Finally, we would advocate developing new website applications that can make internet-based walking programs more useful and more appealing to at-risk populations within the Veterans Health Administration. And I guess I'll save my questions and comments for the end.
All right, and our final presenter is Ruth Ann Sukuda, and she's from the Northwest MIREC in Portland, at the Portland VA, and she'll be telling us about meeting the needs of post-deployment soldiers. Ruth Ann?